Well, this morning, we're going to talk about this issue of worship, and we're going to talk about this issue of how God communicates in worship, how we communicate back to God, how we communicate to one another, because we got to understand worship is both vertical and horizontal, all at the same time. And so we communicate things to God, God communicates things to us, and we communicate things to one another when we worship. Worship is critical. So this morning, we're going to be in Acts chapter 16. Verse 25, but as you're turning there, let me just kind of give you a heads up, or kind of let's talk about context just a little bit before we look at this, because context is very important to understanding this passage. See, Paul and Silas, they're evangelists, and they're in Philippi, and they're walking in Philippi, and they're doing street ministry in Philippi, and so they're witnessing to people. People are accepting Christ. They're doing miracles in Philippi. They're healing people. Miracles are going on. They cast demons out of people, and they set this girl free, and because they have set her free, that it hurts a whole industry. Her boss is no longer making money off of her, because since she has become a Christian, she never wants to do that ever again. And so her boss is upset, and industry is upset, and so the man goes to the local authorities and talks to them and gets the city and the town in an uproar. And so all of a sudden they take Paul and Silas, for doing the right thing, for doing what God has called them to do, and they take Paul and Silas and they drag them out into the city, and then they beat them with rods. They rip off their clothes, and then they beat them with rods. The Bible says that they beat them severely. In the Greek, it means to where they tore their flesh, to where they brought them to the point of death. So they have taken Paul and Silas, and they have beaten those guys half to death for doing the right thing, for doing what God has called them to do. And so then they take them and decide to throw them in jail. So they take them to the jailer, and they throw them into the inner jail, the inner cell. And so that was like solitary confinement. That was reserved. That room, that area was reserved for the most hardened criminal, the one that they did not want to escape, because the jailer would kind of stay outside of the inner cell and protect that more than any other area. And so Paul and Silas are going through difficult circumstances. Maybe you've been in that position. Maybe you've gone through difficult circumstances in your life, whether it's in family or marriage or relationships or whatever. And Paul and Silas respond in a way that says they understand how critical worship is. What a critical role that worship plays in our life. And so there's three principles that we're just going to pull out of this real quickly this morning as we look at this passage together. And the first thing is this, that we've got to understand about worship, is we live our worship. Man, we live our worship. Worship is not something that just goes on in here. Yes, worship happens in here. And yes, worship is important in here. And it is important when we gather together corporately. I mean, some of the most powerful times in my life have been in the atmosphere of worship. Some of the most powerful times in my life have been worshiping with you and in this place. And you sense and you know that God is here and his presence and everything that happens as a result of that. But worship does not end here. I mean, worship, we live our worship. We live our worship by the way that we live our lives, by the way that we conduct our families, by the way that we conduct our business, by the way that we live within the community. Look at Paul and Silas. They have been wrongfully charged. Fact is, as we get to the end of the story, we'll realize that they were vindicated for the whole thing. Fact is, the officials had to apologize to them publicly for even throwing them in jail. They should have never been put in jail. It was trumped up charges because someone got upset with them. And verse 25, the Bible says, after they're going through a difficult time, watch this, about midnight, Paul and Silas were complaining to God. We're bitter. We're angry. We're asking why. No. Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. Paul and Silas, man, they understood how critical worship is, personal worship in their life. We live our worship. Worship is not something that we're a spectator to. Worship is not something that we watch everybody else worship. Worship is something we live. Worship is something that we participate in. I mean, you look at this. They're going through difficult circumstances, and that would not keep them from worshiping God. Let me tell you something. True worshipers, you cannot keep a true worshiper from worshiping God. Their circumstances won't keep them from worshiping Him, good or bad. You see, there's all kinds of barriers to worship if we look at this subject. One barrier to worship can be this, that everything's going great in our life and we don't think we need Him. And we don't even acknowledge Him. And we don't even acknowledge Him for what He's doing in our life. But another barrier can be that the circumstances are difficult. And our lives are being torn apart, much like the flesh of Paul and Silas, it was torn apart. And we're in a dark time, much like Paul and Silas, by being in an inner cell. And the focus. See, true worshipers understand that the focus is Him, regardless of what I walk through. Some of us, a barrier to worship is the focus moves from Him to our circumstances because our circumstances are hurtful and painful. There's something about purification and persecution, unless, of course, you become bitter and cynical and angry. Not Paul and Silas. See, another barrier to worship, just talking. Another barrier to worship is our preferences. To where it becomes me-focused. It's no longer focused on the circumstances. For sure, it's not focused on Him. But all of a sudden, worship is about our preferences, whether it's song choice, whether it's how the song is played, whether it's how the song is sang, whether it's how the song is done, whether it's what someone said, whether it's how someone's looked at you, whether it's how people are worshiping around you. And listen, let me tell you something. Your preferences are me-centered. And your preferences of worship can keep you from worshiping Him. Because the focus becomes on self and no longer on Him. But boy, you look at Paul and Silas and they're going through difficult times. And they understand, I praise Him first. I'll praise Him. I'm convinced of this, and I've seen it in my life, and I've seen it in many of your lives. When we worship Him, when we live our worship throughout the week, there is a blessing on our life that we cannot explain. Whether it's peace, whether it's security, whether it's acknowledging who He is and knowing who He is. My guess is, when Paul and Silas were going through this, they didn't see it as a blessing. They don't know how the story ends. For all they know, they're going to be there the rest of their life. They have no clue how it's going to end. My guess is when they were going through this and the difficult circumstances, they didn't see it as a blessing. But they understood that we've got to worship Him. And sometimes, problems in our life, when our foundations are shaken to the core, can be the very best thing that's ever happened to us. When we realize we've been building our life on shifting sand and not on the rock, our world may be torn apart, and you know what? Our world is right now being torn apart. And our world is a dark place. And if we develop grief and anger and hurt and pain, discouragement, we will never worship Him. Worship is to understand, I will worship Him regardless. Isn't that what Job said? Even though you slay me, and I will worship you. I will worship you. Paul and Silas, this is so important about worship. Paul and Silas were not pretending that everything was okay. Worship is not some Pollyanna faith. It's not some type of thing that we enter into and it's a show or we just act like everything is okay when it's not. But Jesus said this. Jesus says the way that you worship is in spirit and in truth. Worship is not posing. Worship is not faking it. Worship is not working up some emotion like everything is okay. We worship Him in spirit and in truth. And when you understand that, that will free you to worship. Hebrews says this. Watch this. Hebrews 4, 15 and 16. For we do not have a high priest, Jesus, who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who is in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet He is without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to what? To help us in our time of need. We can approach God honestly and transparently. We can bring our questions to Him. We can bring our doubts to Him. We can bring our hurts to Him. We can bring our pain to Him. And we don't have to act like it's non-existent in our life. And we can approach the throne of grace with confidence. Because the scripture says that He knows what it's like to be us. He was tempted in every way, but He was without sin. And He can sympathize with our weaknesses. And I'm telling you, some people don't worship because they may not feel like it. Let me tell you something. Worship is the most critical thing that we could do. Paul and Silas started off. My guess is they didn't really feel like it. And they entered into worship of Him out of obedience because of who He is. And something happened in their life and in their spirit. Worship is when we come to Him. And we come to Him in spirit and we come to Him in truth and we're honest. Don't you think we might as well be honest with God since He knows us? And He can look into our heart and our soul. And even with that, He says, you can approach me with what? With confidence. And I'll accept your worship. Worship. Man, worship is something that we live. And when you understand this, you can let your guard down. And you can be free to worship. Because you know that you can draw near to Him in confidence. So we live our worship. And then here's the second thing. So that's the vertical. We live our worship. And the second thing is this, is others listen to our worship. You realize that. Worship is both vertical and horizontal. I mean, God listens to our worship, and guess what? Others listen to our worship as well. There's the greatest testimony that you can have is the way in which you worship Him. I mean, the greatest testimony you can have corporately and the greatest testimony you can have individually is the way in which you and I worship Him. Fact is, the scriptures goes on and says, and the prisoners were what? And the prisoners were listening to them. That verb in the Greek, listening, is an active present tense verb, which basically means this. They stopped what they were doing, and they were continually listening to Paul and Silas. They were intently listening to Paul and Silas. In other words, the prison grew very, very quiet. Now listen, you got to understand, a prison in their time was very, very basic. It was dark, and it was dirty, and it was harsh. Most of them were chained up to the wall. And they're used to curses being thrown around in prison. They're used to bitterness and anger and all this other stuff. And then all of a sudden, these guys see two guys drug into the inner cell, that were beaten half to death, chained to a wall. And remember, the inner cell was where the most hardened criminals were. For all they knew, Paul and Silas were guilty of whatever they did. They didn't know they were innocent. They didn't know that they were going to be released and the government was going to apologize to Paul and Silas for wrongfully throwing them in jail. They didn't know any of that. Can you imagine two guys worshiping God by being wrongfully charged? in hurtful, painful circumstances. And so they drag these two guys in. And so the prisoners are used to hearing people in prison cuss the jailer and make threats and all these other vile things. Not them. All of a sudden they hear two guys begin worshiping God and praising him. You see, others listen to your worship. That when people walk into this room for the very first time and they see the way that we worship, that they should be able to look into our lives and say, I don't know what they got, but I want to figure out how to get some of that. I don't know what they got and how they're doing that when the world is being torn apart, when there's doubts about the economy, when there's doubts in the world, when people are walking through difficulty. I don't know what they have, but listen, I want some of that. Listen, let me tell you something. People don't want to know how you worship when you got life together. They want to know how you worship when life is falling apart. When your foundations have been rocked out from under you, and you've got questions, and you've got hurts, and you've got pain. But we worship him. We worship him in spirit and in truth. It is not posing. It is true worship where we just come to him. And we understand who he is. Theologians have argued through the years because, listen, let me tell you something. The Bible doesn't say what they were praying. The Bible doesn't say what songs, what praise songs they were singing. And so I did a lot of research because, you know what? I wanted to know. I want to know, what were these guys singing? What were these guys doing when the prisoners were so intently listening to them? Most theologians believe they were singing, worshiping to Psalms 113. Psalms 113 for them was like Amazing Grace to us. Everybody knew, and if you were a Jew, everybody knew Psalm 113. They sang it every year at Passover. They sang it at many of their religious ceremonies. They sang it, some of them sang it weekly. I mean, it was so prevalent in their culture. Even non-Jews knew of Psalms 113, kind of like Amazing Grace, like everybody kind of knows of Amazing Grace in our culture. I want to read to you Psalm 113 because it just caught me so off guard when I saw how they were worshiping. Here it is. Verse 1, praise the Lord. Praise him. Can you imagine what the other prisoners thought when they hear out of the inner cell with a jailer sitting at that front door and they heard these guys? Praise God. Praise God. O servants of the Lord, praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord from the time forth and forevermore. From the rising of the sun to its setting. The name of the Lord is to be praised. And you enter into worship out of faith, out of obedience. It is a statement of faith. Watch this. The Lord is high above all nations. And the glory above the heavens. Who is like our God, who is seated on high? You know what they're saying? Watch this. Here's what they're saying. Our God is higher than our circumstances. Our God is above our circumstances. Our God is above the jailer. Our God is above the courts. Our God is above the circumstances. Our God is above the government. Our God is above the economy. Our God is above the president. Our God. There is nobody like our God. Our God is over all. See, the reason sometimes people, when they go through difficult circumstances in their life, that they cannot worship him, or it's a barrier to worship him, is this, because they begin to see their circumstances as sovereign. Your circumstance is giving you fear. Whatever your circumstance is this morning, if your circumstances are giving you fear, you're trusting in your circumstances more than him. You begin to see your circumstances as sovereign in your life. Let me tell you something. Your circumstances are not sovereign. And one of the reasons that we worship him is to remind ourselves and each other, because worship is vertical and horizontal, that our God is over all. That our God is sovereign, that our God is in control. And even though we do not know how the circumstances are going to end up in our life, we know this. He is sovereign and he is in control. And we're going to praise him and we're going to worship him. Who is like our God? Who is seated on high? Who looks far down on the heavens and on the earth? He raises the poor from dust and he lifts the needy from the ash heap. Man, they are praising him. God, you're sovereign. You're in control of everything. To make me sit with princes of people, he gives the barren woman a home, making her joyous mother of children. Praise the Lord. Can you imagine what the prisoners are thinking when they hear this? I mean, I don't know if you've ever been in jail or in a jail. As a pastor, I've been in and out of jail a lot. Pastoral visits. And jail, man, I don't know if you know anything about jail, if you've ever been in jail, but man, I'm telling you what, I've spent a lot of time as a pastor going into jails, and it is a dark, depressing place. The jailers sometimes are more depressed than the actual prisoners. And it is, nobody wants to be there. Nobody is happy about being there. Everybody's innocent, of course. Man, I'm telling you, the times that I've gone in jail, it has sucked the life out of me. And I've been in Pueblo County Jail a lot as a police chaplain down in Florence at the federal prison here a while back. Me and some of our pastors and elders, we got to go into the maximum security prison, and we spent a day in there. And we were in general population and took a tour, and prisoners bumping up against us. And I mean, it is a tough place. I mean, you got some of them in there, and their heads are shaved and stuff are etched in their scalp and their head, and that's just the girls. And so, I mean, it is a tough place. And I remember one time we were in there and we were walking around, and this big old guy walked up. I mean, you know, one of those big old, I mean, this guy was ginormous, shaved head, and I mean, the back of his neck looked like a package of hot dogs. And so it's just like one roll right after another. And so he walked up to Steve and he said, I think I know you. And Steve like looked, and of course we all looked at, and I'm like, man, what? And this guy goes, yeah, I think I know you. And he goes, I think we did time together. We've done. I'm like, really? And you know, and the elders are taking notes at this point. They're like, yeah. And so he goes, no, seriously. And Steve's getting a little uncomfortable. He says, hey, buddy, I know. He goes, no. The guy says, no, I never forget a face. I know we've done time together. Where have we done time? And he's like naming off three different states where this man's been in jail. I mean, I'm like, wow. And so he's like, no. And Steve's like, no, I don't know. He goes, yeah, I do. No, I don't. And so they're going back and forth. And so the guy ended the conversation by saying this, says, you know what? How much longer are you going to be in here? And he said, well, I'm leaving this afternoon. And he goes, well, it'll come to me. And as soon as it comes to me, I'm going to look you up and I'm going to remind you. And I says, no, just come tell me. I said, I'm thinking, you know what? When we hire a pastor, we need to start asking more questions. And you know what? I'm telling you, it is a depressing place. Jail is not a place where you think of people worshiping God. I'm telling you, people, they want to know, how do you worship him when things are not going good? How do you worship him when your foundation has been rocked to the core? What happens in worship doesn't stay in worship. What happens in worship doesn't stay in worship. It's vertical. It's horizontal. What happens in worship should bleed through your whole life. It's just not what happens inside these four walls. We live our worship. Others listen to our worship. And the last thing is this: true worship liberates. True worship sets people free. I mean, true worship changes people. I mean, look at this. We'll just finish this story. Verse 26. And suddenly, there was a great earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. Listen, let me tell you something. Sometimes it is a great thing when our foundations are shaken. The jailer's foundation in life is about ready to be rocked to the core. There is something that happens when our foundations are shaken that sometimes it forces us to pull closer to God. And immediately all the doors were open and everybody's bonds were unfastened. Worship liberates. Worship changes circumstances. Worship changes your life. Worship. Watch this. When the jailer woke. Now there was a period that the jailer was awake. And all of a sudden this earthquake rocks the place to the core. When the jailer woke and saw the prison doors were open, watch his response. He drew his sword and he was about ready to kill himself, supposing that the prisoners had escaped. He's about ready to commit suicide. You know why? He lost hope. Two things would happen in their culture to a jailer when a prisoner escaped. This is to protect them from corruption and payoffs and all the other deal. Two things would happen to a jailer in their culture if someone escaped. The best case scenario for him would be they'd just throw him in jail, put his family in slavery, throw him in jail. Can you imagine being a jailer? That you were once the one that chained the prisoners, you were once the one that tortured the prisoners, you were once the one that beat the prisoners. And now you're in jail alongside of them. That was the best case scenario. The other side of the other thing that could happen to him is that he could be put to death. And he's thinking, my life's over. I've lost my job. I've lost my career. I've lost my family. I no longer have hope. Can I just tell you something just real quickly as a pastor? Suicide is touching our community way too often right now. It's down in the middle schools, the high schools, and adults. Pueblo ranks really high with this issue of suicide. As a police chaplain, when I was a police chaplain, as a pastor, I have dealt with the carnage and the backwash and the hurt and the pain of suicide way too often. Some of you in this room have had to walk through that. High majority of all suicide notes, when you study suicide notes, when a suicide note is left, will usually have a phrase in there: I have nothing to live for. I've given up. I have no hope. This jailer was no different. See, worship. We live our worship. Others listen to our worship. And worship liberates. See, worship is not about us. Worship, when we focus on our preferences, when we focus on our stuff, and we make worship about us, we have made worship something that it is not. And Paul and Silas, look what they did. Now, this is just amazing to me. So he drew his sword, and he's about ready to commit suicide. Paul cried with a loud voice, "Do not harm yourself," which in the Greek, the inflection of that was like it shocked him just to where he just froze. He didn't know what he was going to say next. It indicates that he was in the middle of suicide. He was in the middle of taking the sword and thrusting it into his body. And Paul says, "Do not harm yourself." And it shocked him. And then here's what Paul says: "For we are all here." And the jailer called for lights and rushed in, and trembling with fear, he fell down before Paul and Silas. Then he brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do? What must I do to have what you have? What must I do to have a relationship with a holy and a righteous God so that I can have hope? What must I..." Can I tell you this? Every weekend here at Fellowship the Rockies, we have people that are giving God one last chance. The stakes are high. We deal with people all the time that are at the end of their rope, at the end of their life, about ready to give up. Listen, the stakes are too high for us to enter into worship casually and make it all about us and make it all about our preferences and make it all about our likes and all about our dislikes, to where we boycott worship and we don't do worship if we don't like it, if it doesn't meet our needs. There are people coming into this place wanting to know if it's real, if the presence of God is here, if even when their foundations are rocked to the core, can they believe in a God and trust a God that will carry them through that? And this jailer was no different. Sirs, what must I do to be saved? Do you realize during worship we have people accepting Christ? You understand that, right? We have people in this worship service because they look around and they see people. What does it communicate to them? When we are so distracted in worship that we're reading bulletins and it's all about our preferences, all about our likes, all about our different our dislikes. Do you realize you could be worshiping next to a person that has given God one last chance? You could be Paul and Silas to them. Paul and Silas, their chains had been broken free. They had been liberated. They could have walked away. You understand that, right? But they understood. Others listen to our worship. They understand and understood that worship liberates people. They were concerned about the jailer. They were concerned about his eternal destiny. And the jailer says, how can I get what you got? What must I do to be saved? And they said, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Trust in him. Cling to him. Come into a relationship with him. So he is your foundation, not your circumstances, not all that other stuff, but he is your foundation. Believe in him, and you will be saved, you and your household. And they spoke the word of the Lord to him. His presence is in the word. His power is in the word. There is power in the word of God. They spoke the word of God to him and to all were in his house. And he took them the same hour that night and washed their wounds. And he was baptized at once. If you've life journaled with us, you know, as we've read through the book of Acts, that someone always accepted Christ, then they were baptized, accepted Christ, then they were baptized, accepted Christ, then they were baptized. That is the biblical principle. Never do you find they were baptized and then one day they accept him. It was always they accepted him and then they followed him in believer's baptism. These men were no different. And he and his family, then he brought them up into his house. He set food before them and watch this. And he, the jailer, rejoiced. The guy that had 5 minutes ago that had no hope, the guy that was ready to commit suicide, the guy that was ready to give up on life and just say, I'm cashing it in, I cannot do this anymore. He went from that to joy. And I'm telling you, it still happens today. This is not something that just happened thousands of years ago. We've got story after story after story of people that come into this place who are ready to give up, who are ready to cash it in, who are ready to walk away from everything. And they come into community with a group of believers and they're asking, how can I get some of that? And this morning, you may be a Paul or Silas here this morning, and you may be going through difficult circumstances right now. Are you worshiping him? Are you letting your circumstances, your preferences, your likes, your dislikes, critiquing, criticizing, are you letting that keep you from worshiping him? You want to see God move in your life? Paul and Silas get released. the authorities have to publicly apologize to them. God moved in a huge way in their circumstances. Or this morning, you like the jailer. Do you know him? Do you have a relationship with him? How must you be saved? How must you enter into a relationship with him? Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. Accept him, trust in him, turn your life over to him, repent, begin to walk with him. Would you bow your heads with me and close your eyes? And let me just ask you real quickly, and what is God saying to you this morning? And how does God want you to respond to this message? See, worship demands a response. Worship is not a spectator event. We participate in worship. How does God want you to respond? What is he saying to you? What is he communicating to you? He communicates through worship. Are you a Paul and Silas? This morning, do you need to say, you know, Lord, the very best of my ability, I'm going to praise you. Don't be a poser. Tell him honestly and truthfully and say, but in spite of my circumstances, I'm going to praise you because you are higher than my circumstances. You are above all. You are sovereign, not my circumstances. You're the one that's sovereign. And maybe this morning you're a jailer. You're like the jailer. And you have been warring with this decision. You've been struggling with this decision. And today you need to give your life to Christ, to where you can have joy and you can rejoice in him. Would you accept him this morning? Would you give your life to him? In just a few minutes, I'm going to pray and we're going to stand. And as we stand, boy, I'm going to invite those of you that need prayer. Boy, would you meet us down front? Our leaders will be here. Our leaders will be coming with you. And we just want to have an opportunity to pray for you. Man, you may be going through a good time in your life, and you just need prayer for wisdom. You need prayer for discernment. Last night, we had a high school girl come down for prayer. And because of what's going on in her school, she just wants to start a revival. She wants to start a great awakening. And she came down to pray for her school and get wisdom from some of the prayer partners. You may be facing a great decision. You just need wisdom and discernment. You may be going through a difficult time, whether it's a health report, whether it's something going on in your family, and you just need prayer. Just because you come down for prayer doesn't mean something horrible and horrendous is going on in your life. We all need prayer. I need prayer. And so here's what I'm going to ask you to do. You already know who you are. I'm convinced of that. When we stand, would you just step out? Our prayer leaders will be coming with you. Our leaders will be down here. They will pray with you. They will pray for you, and they will minister to you. Father, we thank you for this morning. Father, we thank you for your word. And Father, we thank you that you are sovereign. And we praise you that you are above all. And so, Father, right now I ask you draw every heart, every mind to you, that there'd be no distractions in this place. And that we would worship you. And we would respond to you. Father, would you give people great confidence? Don't let there be any barriers that would keep them from coming down for prayer this morning. Father, draw your children to you right now, for we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.